This is the second week of the Trisagion, and we heard in today's Gospel a parable which is familiar to most of us, the parable of the prodigal son. What Jesus was trying to convey to us through this parable is the nature and character of God, what God is like and how He views us who are in this fallen world. First and foremost, God is a God of compassion, a God of mercy. And as Saint Isaac the Syrian said, when we speak of God as just, we must first speak of God as merciful. It is through His mercy that we come to understand the nature of our lives, the nature of the world. This young brother of the father who had to ask to receive his inheritance, he went out and spent it all in profligate living with whores and prostitutes till he had nothing, till he hired himself out to pig farmers in a distant land and longed to be back as a hired servant in his father's house. And for all of us who have been humbled, this is the desire that we should have, to be hired servants in our Father's house. None of us are worthy of the inheritance which God has promised to all of us. None of us are worthy of the good things which God has given us. When this young man asked his father to give him his inheritance, his father didn't object. His father didn't say, no, you can't have it. His father gave him half of what was his and let him go out into the world to do with whatever he wanted. God had given us free will, the ability to do whatever we want in this life, to live to serve Him or to live to serve the darker side, to serve our passions, our lusts, and the devil ultimately. The way of serving the devil leads to death and to hunger. It leads to self-destruction. But He's given each of us this choice. And as the Father, He longs for each of us to come to our senses, to repent, to come back to Him, and He rejoices with the same joy that the Father rejoiced for the return of His Son, safe and sound, with the same joy with which we rejoice whenever something we have lost is found again. Something we value which is lost that we have found again. The hardest things for each of us to understand is the tremendous blessing that He's given each of us with this life to do with it what we want. And with that comes responsibility. A lot of people will ask, well, why did God give us this choice? Why didn't He object when the son went off? Why didn't He argue with him? Why didn't He say, no, it's my money? Why won't you wait till I die to get your inheritance? Why didn't God argue? It's a mystery of human existence that God allows evil to exist in the world. That He allows suffering and pain and disease and death. And all of this exists because we make the choice for it to exist. We make the choice not to listen. We make the choice to forget how much our Father loves us. How many of us, in a spirit of rebellion, go out into the world thinking that we know better than our elders how to live our lives? How many of us, in a spirit of rebellion, go out into the world thinking we can make it on our own without the help of other people? And how many of us have to learn the hard lesson that this younger son learned of what a life lived profligately, thinking that you know what you're doing, can lead to? There isn't any of us who looks at his heart honestly who doesn't realize that every time that they've rebelled in their lives, nothing good has come from it. Oh, there may be pleasure and joy and the thrill of doing the wrong thing. And this has an appeal for most of us in our fallen state. But in the end, the wages of sin are death, as St. Paul has so eloquently said in his epistles. The wages of sin are death. The wages of trying to figure things out for ourselves is ignorance and blindness. I remember my own youth when I thought I knew everything. When I thought I understood all mystery. When because I had an intelligent mind, I thought I could do things on my own. And I made so many mistakes. And each of us, if we're honest about it, knows that a life lived apart from God, a life lived apart from seeking everything which is good, no matter how much pleasure that life has momentarily, in the end it brings us sadness and disappointment and pain. God is kind to us and good to us because He knows in the end that we will remember the kindness and goodness as the Son remembered the kindness and goodness of His Father. And we will long, all of us, in each in our own special way, will long to be in the presence of that spirit of goodness that many of us felt as small children. How many small children, pure of heart, filled with love, grow up to become in a spirit of rebellion, full of hate and anger and disappointment and deceit and of everything which is evil in the world. We start off, each of us, so very precious. And God loves us each so dearly that He will allow us, as precious as we are, to destroy ourselves if that's our choice. But like the Father, He waits there every day, hoping that we shall return to come and embrace us and kiss us and love us and rejoice with happiness for all that is good in the world. And for those of us who don't have a spirit of rebellion, who pride ourselves in always doing the right thing, who didn't go through a period of rejection of God, who were religious all of our lives, we have an example of the elder son. The son who had all the blessings and all the goodness, but had no joy, no love, and no compassion. Who wasn't happy that his brother came back. Who wished justice to be meted out to him. Who wished him to be repaid according to the depth of his sin, according to the magnitude of his rebellion. If God rewarded us according to the magnitude of our rebellion, each of us would be suffering eternity in hell. But He's open to each of us a way of life, a way of salvation. Because ultimately, we are all children of His who have gone astray. What can we say about the character of God? He is merciful, He is kind, He is long-suffering, and He seeks the lost sheep to be saved. There is more rejoicing, we hear in the Gospel, for one sinner than repents than for 100 righteous men. More rejoicing in heaven. Great celebration comes when we repent. The angels sing in great joy when we come back to the Father. It is a special blessing to come to understand this. Christ said, "He who is forgiven much loves much." If we have been in a spirit of rebellion, and we have come back and we have received the love of God, we have received the forgiveness of God, then we can understand what it means to love and to forgive other people. If we can love other people, it is because God loved us first. If we can show compassion and mercy to other people, it is because God has shown compassion and mercy to us first. If we can show goodness to other people, it's because He's shown goodness to us first. He said, God gives the rain to the evil and to the good equally. He loves the sinner as much as He loves the saint. He shows compassion and kindness to each of us equally. And He calls each of us to develop within our own heart that same spirit of compassion and of understanding of other people. Today we celebrate St. Phocius, Archbishop of Constantinople, the defender of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, in his argument with the Pope of Rome, in that spirit of rebellion which the papacy, as this prodigal son, went off into. Phocius stood for the right and proper understanding of the place of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in the human life, and he stood against the Pope of Rome, a Pope of Rome who was under the sway of the Germanic conquerors, and a Pope of Rome whose descendants led the Roman, the Franco-Latin Church, as we call it, into heresy, into rebellion, a rebellion that it is still in today and for which it is unrepentant. But as I said about the prodigal son, God still loves those in rebellion. Even the Latins, He loves them. And He's calling them to repentance. Phocius was deposed by a faction within the church and then was reinstated. And to this day, the Latin Church holds as ecumenical the council which deposed him. Their 8th ecumenical council was the council which declared Phocius a heretic and deposed him. This is the stark example of the chasm between us and the West cannot be healed as long as the West is in heresy. We believe, brothers and sisters, that God Himself heals. There are no intermediaries except Christ, the one intermediary. He didn't create a grace like a river that flows out to you. It's not plumbing, it's not magic. There are no magicians casting spells as Catholic priests do. I've explained before how the West and how most of Protestantism and Catholicism are captivated by theories of magic, which the Church rejected long ago. God Himself visits people, we say. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God Himself intervenes in history. He doesn't create some channel to which this thing called grace flows to the world. When I was a Roman Catholic studying to be confirmed, I was taught that a sacrament was an instrument to receive grace, an outward symbol of an invisible grace. And the Protestants will say, by grace you are saved through faith, lest any man should boast. And when they talk about grace, it's a thing. Phocius, in opposition to the theologians of the West, said grace is not a thing, grace is God Himself. Haris is God Himself. Haris is God Himself. Haris is the father waiting for the son at the window, longing and hoping that he returns. Haris is Jesus kneeling down, looking over Jerusalem and crying and praying and saying, "Oh, you who I love so much, who killed the prophets that I sent you, how like a hen gathers her chicks under its wings, I longed to love you, but you wouldn't have it. How like the father wanted that son to be with him and love him, but that son wouldn't have it." We have to be honest with each other. How many times in our lives have we behaved like that son when God has called us and loved us? When that Haris, that all-encompassing arm and love of God has come to embrace us, to fall down on our knees and kiss us, have we wanted no part of that love? Because we wanted to do things our way and go out and live life our way and not live according to the love of God. This is the blessing that God offers each of us to learn to be grateful and to come back and to recognize the love of God. Let us run back to our Father who is in heaven. Let us be on that road and run back to Him, knowing that a warm and loving and merciful and kind God waits for us, waits to rejoice upon our return. Let us learn to love our Father with the same fervency and the same love which He loves us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.